Let's start tonight with number 64. Let's stand for our first song. Take your hymnals, number 64. We'll sing verses 1, 3, and 5. Verses 1, 3, and 5 of number 64. Then we'll be taking requests, so be thinking. 1, 3, and 5 of 64.
All creatures of our God and King, lift up your voice and with us sing. Alleluia, alleluia. Thou burning sun with golden beam, thou silver moon with softer gleam. Oh, praise him, oh, praise him. Alleluia, alleluia. Alleluia. Thou flowing water, pure and clear, make music for thy Lord to hear. Alleluia, alleluia. Thou far so masterful and bright, that givest man both warmth and light. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Let all things their Creator bless, and worship him in humbleness. Oh, praise him, alleluia. Praise, praise the Father, praise the Son, and praise the Spirit, three in one. Oh, praise him, oh, praise him. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
Thank you. You may be seated. And we'll take some of your requests. 231? All right. All right, let's do all four. All four verses of 231, Jesus Shall Reign.
Jesus shall reign wherever sun does his successive journeys run. His kingdom spread from shore shall wax and wane no more. To him shall endless prayer be made, and endless praises crown his head. His name like sweet perfume shall rise on every morning sigh.
Okay. All right, let's do all three of 460.
All the way my Savior leads me, what have I to ask beside? Can I doubt His tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith in Him to dwell. For I know whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. For I know whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. All the way my Savior leads me, cheers each winding path I tread, gives me grace for every trial, feeds me with the living bread. Though my weary steps may falter, and my soul athirst may be, gushing from the rock before me, lo, a spring of joy I see. Gushing from the rock before me, lo, a spring of joy I see. All the way my Savior leads me, for the fullness of His love, perfect rest to me is promised in my Father's house above. When my spirit, clothed immortal, wings its flight to realms of day, this my song through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way. This my song through all the ages, Jesus led me all the way.
All right, we'll do all four of these two. 186.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross, where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Or that old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left His glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. Cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. In the old rugged cross, stained with blood so divine, a wondrous beauty I see. For 'twas on that old cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. To the old rugged cross I will never be true. It's shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
All right, let's stand. This will be our last song. We'll sing the first and last verse of 538, verses 1 and 3.
When I can read my title clear to mansions in the sky, I'll bid farewell to every fear and wipe my weeping eyes, and wipe my weeping eyes, and wipe my weeping eyes. I'll bid farewell to every fear and wipe my weeping eyes. Let cares like a wild deluge come and storms of sorrow come. May I but safely reach my home, my God, my heaven, my all. My God, my heaven, my all. My God, my heaven, my all. May I but safely reach my home, my God, my heaven, my all.
Thank you. You may be seated.
Have to make a confession this morning in the service when Steve was talking about, among other things, humility. The song that kept going through my mind was, "Oh Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're an Arkansas Razorback fan." You know. So if your mind wanders tonight, you know that others have wandered beforehand. Anyway, let's pray. Father, we do look forward to that day when we can read our title clear. We just are thankful that we have this inheritance reserved in heaven, kept by the power of God. And we look forward to that for eternity. But until then, Lord, you have admonished us to walk worthy of the calling. And our lives need to reflect our calling. And so we just pray that you would teach us, you would enable us to live the way we ought to live. Just thank you for your word. Thank you for the Spirit. Thank you for the counsel of godly friends. Just for the provision you made that we might walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. And I pray tonight as we just go through some very simple things that you would again help us and encourage us, cause us to remember some things as we go through our daily life. And so we just commit this service to you, ask that you would bless it. In Jesus' name, amen. When we get on a Sunday like this where Steve speaks in the morning and I speak in the evening, we don't consult ahead of time. But I couldn't help but just be amazed at some of the things he was saying this morning, because they sort of fit in to what I want to talk about tonight, the idea of how we live as a Christian. And Steve had some very specific things to put off and to put on, some good passages, and we really need to be concerned about that, that our lives reflect that, that we really have put off and that we really do put on. And these things are not just some kind of wispy thing that comes down, the Spirit overpowers us and whatnot. It's things we do. And I was encouraged this morning by that. But my thoughts, without even knowing what Steve was going to talk about, was what do we have? What can we do? And it's not going to be specific like Steve exactly, but what can we do to do it, to be that way? How can I grow in my sanctification? How can I be holy? What things can I do? When I think of those things, they have to be fairly simple, because I kind of, that's just the way I operate. I try to clear my mind of clutter, which means any rational thought, and I like just basic simple things. But what started me thinking on this is a quote, and some of you know that on my wall above my desk, I have it just covered with little torn off pieces of paper where I scribble either verses or quotes from books I read or quotes I hear and whatnot, and I just scribble them up there, and the wall is just full of it. And a while back, I got a quote from Steve, and I don't remember whether it's a book or not, or one of his messages, but in the quote is, and it caught my eye, and I never heard it before, and so it's on my wall now, but the quote is, "It is the future that molds the present, not the past." And we're used to thinking that our past sets the stage for what we are. And this quote is just exactly, it's what we're looking forward to, what we think our future will be, that molds our past, because you can't change the past. Anyway, it started me thinking about that. First of all, is it true? And secondly, what is it about the future as a Christian that will affect my present life? What is it about the future that will help me in my sanctification, my growing more like Christ, in my maybe putting off and putting on and these kind of things? Just got the thought that we need to think about our future, and I was glad that we sang that last song about the future. But I realized, and if you just take we'll try to do that for you, but there are some things about our future that do affect our present life. And it relates to sin in our life, and it relates to our sanctification, it relates to the growth process we have of becoming more and more what we ought to be, the new man, renewed according to a true knowledge of the one who created him. These things do relate to Christian living, provided we remember what it is about our future. And so we want to talk a little bit about the future and two things, about the future that will affect the way we live today. And then we'll do the same thing for the, what I mean, I am a product of my past. What about my past do I have to remember, or can I remember, that will help me be what I ought to be today? So those are the things I just want to talk about very simply and encourage you to remember. So if you would, please, and we'll jump, just going to be jumping around a lot of scripture. But 1 John chapter 2. And these are not new passages. These are not deep passages. They're very significant, but you're familiar with them. And I want to read from verse 228 down to 3:3. Now, little children, abide in him, so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink away from him in shame at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone also who practices righteousness is born of him. See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us that we would be called children of God, and such we are. For this reason the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet appeared as yet. It has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when he appears we will be like him, because we will see him just as he is. And everyone who has his hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he is pure. And think about this passage in terms of your future. What does it tell you about your future? You know one thing for sure. You will see the Lord, okay? That's guaranteed. You will see the Lord. And it won't be impersonal. As a believer, you will stand before him face to face. And I will be like him. And so what that means is, in my present day and age, if I understand that, verse 3 of chapter 3 says, I purify myself. Now, see, we are, a lot of us sometimes get the second coming of the Lord mixed up. We sing, will there be any stars in my crown? You know, will I get my rewards? Will he say, well done to me? This passage says, will I shrink back in shame from him at his coming? Now, if you're like me, we don't dwell on that very often, but it is totally possible for me, when the Lord appears, to shrink back in shame. It's not going to be a joyous time. I am going to be in shame in front of him. And that's a, it's kind of a scary thought, or at least it's a sobering thought. See, if I know that, and if I remember that, then it will change my life today. That's what the passage says. If I remember that he's coming, and I will stand in front of him, then that will change the way I live today. It's not going to be, whoa, you know, I mean, all the silly little frothy things we have on sometimes. The future, standing before the Lord, should change the way I live today. My life should be geared toward the future. Another passage, 2 Peter chapter 3. Same song, second verse or whatever, but starting at verse 10. The day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of the Lord, because of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning, the elements will melt with intense heat, but according to his promise we are looking for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, spotless and blameless. Same message. Seeing that the Lord is coming and everything is going to be burned up. Everything is going to be burned up, the earth and the deeds on it. So we have nothing left in the sense to stand before him with. I mean, it's just gone. How are we to be? See, what is the characteristic of that day? See, and that day comes as a day of destruction. And that day comes as a day of burning and elements melting. And that day comes as a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. And therefore, we better be able to stand before him or stand in that day spotless and blameless. And again, if we think clearly about the future, the coming of the Lord and what that really means, then that will govern the way I live. See? And we do need to think of the coming of the Lord. That's our future. That's guaranteed. That's guaranteed. It's not optional. We have nothing to do with it. He is coming, and we need to think of that. And all through the New Testament, I just picked out those two passages, but all through the New Testament, the thought is, He is coming. He is coming. Live like it. Not in the silliness that you hear about the coming of the Lord. What am I going to get? And, you know, what all that sort of stuff. But will I recognize people? Will this happen? Or what's going to happen? You know, it's He is coming and He is holy. See, that's our future. He's coming and He's holy. And we should live like it. See. So with that as a reminder, the question is, why do I still sin? Why do I still sin? See? How do I answer that question? See? Either I don't believe he's coming, really. Or maybe I don't understand how he is. That he's just going to say, well, you tried hard and we'll forget everything. You know, I mean, there's no accountability. Either I don't believe he's coming, or I don't believe he's holy, and I don't believe I have to be in accord with his characteristics and what is happening. See, we need to remember that he is coming and he is holy. Okay? Because I think a lot of us, and I'm talking to myself, I think a lot of us just don't really ever think about that. We need to think of that. We need to remember, and we need to wake up in the morning and nothing like, well, maybe today the Lord's coming. Well, maybe today's the Lord's coming, and that is a, what's the old song? My Lord, what a morning when the stars begin to fall. See, that's a good song for Christians to sing. It wasn't always sung in a Christian context, but that's going to be a terrible day. And we need to remember that. So that's the first thing you want to remember. Yeah, if to live the way, the motivation for living the way Steve was trying to encourage us to be this morning, the way we want to be worthy of our calling, we need to remember he is coming and he is holy. And if we really believed those things and we remembered them daily, then it would change the way we live. But then, so that was one thing, the thought of this quote and a little thing I wrote and scratched on a board, and I try to remember that. But then it's last week, and things happen, you know, nothing by accident, it's for a reason. But I was reading in Deuteronomy, Old Testament, Deuteronomy, and something just jumped at me to give me some idea of how I should think as a Christian and how that should, in light of his coming and in light of other things, how it affects the way I live, see. And so the first thing is I have to remember my future, and we need to do. But now Deuteronomy takes me back, obviously, not to the coming of the Lord, but way back into Israel's history. And you know about Deuteronomy. The background is Israel has been wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. And finally it's time for them to change leadership. Moses is going to die. Joshua will take over. and they'll go into the promised land. So they're about to get what the Lord has promised them. And Deuteronomy is Moses giving them sort of a review of their history and also giving them the law the second time. They, you know, and Deuteronomy is how they are supposed to live, you know, how they got to be God's people and how they're supposed to live and some things in the relationship with God. And essentially, to summarize Deuteronomy, you know, you're going into the land. You're God's chosen people. Live like it. Okay, and that's the message in Deuteronomy. And it's the name Deuteronomy is a Latin name. It just means the second law. And so Moses is essentially giving you the law the second time. And as I was reading this over a couple of days, just a number of things, one's a number. One thing kept coming. Well, it is a number, isn't it? Hadley, is it a number? That's a good number. One. You're number one. Anyway, let me read just a couple of verses, and you pick out, maybe you'll hear the same thing that just, this is just amazing. I mean, I've read this a zillion times, but it never jumped out like it did. But let me just read, you can follow along if you want, but it's just five or six verses through Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 5:15. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out of there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. Chapter 7, verse 18 and 19. If you say in your heart, these nations are greater than I, how can I dispossess them? You shall not be afraid of them. You shall well remember what the Lord your God did to Pharaoh and to all Egypt, the great trials which your law saw, and the signs and the wonders and the mighty hand and the outstretched arm by which the Lord your God brought you out. So shall the Lord your God do to all the peoples of whom you are afraid. Deuteronomy 16, verse 3. You shall not eat. Realize there's a context to each of these, but the context doesn't change the verses. You shall not eat leavened bread with it. 7 days you shall eat with it unleavened bread, the bread of affliction. For you came out of the land of Egypt in haste, so that you may remember all the days of your life, the day when you came out of the land of Egypt. 16:12. You shall remember that you were a slave in Egypt, and you shall be careful to observe these statutes. 24, verse 28. Well, it can't be because you're in 28. How about 18? But start at 17. You shall not pervert the justice due an alien or an orphan, nor take a widow's garments in pledge. But you shall remember that you were a slave in Egypt, and that the Lord your God redeemed you from this thing, from there. Therefore, I am commanding you to do this thing. And in chapter 32, when Moses is teaching them a song that they are supposed to remember and sing, or at least recite to learn, just out of the middle of the song, verse 6. Do you thus repay the Lord, O foolish and unwise people? Is not he your father who has bought you? He has made you and established you. Remember the days of old. Consider the years of all generations. Ask your father, he will inform you, your elders, and they will tell you. And that's enough, but do you get the message in all those verses? And there's probably 10 verses for each one of those that I didn't read, but the same message. What are they supposed to do? Remember. That's the word. You shall remember, see. Remember their redemption from Egypt. They were never to forget it. The Passover that they, this will be the beginning of the year for you. Do the Passover every year, because that's how you remember your redemption from Egypt. See? And with every remembrance, it says, and therefore you remember this, and that's why I'm giving you these commandments as to how you're supposed to live. You remember this. That's why I'm asking you to obey. You remember this. Don't disobey. See? And we know from the book of Judges, and Brad's taken us through the book of Judges in the evening service, but by the time we get to the Judges, they're in the land. And for example, we get away to Judges chapter 8, verse 33. Then it came about as soon as Gideon was dead, that the sons of Israel again played with the harlot with the Baals and made Baal-berith their god. Thus the sons of God did not remember the Lord their God, who had delivered them from the hand of all their enemies on every side. And you read Psalm 77 and Psalm 78, and they're just a recitation of the history of Israel. And it said, they forgot. When he smote them, they remembered him, they came back to him, but then they forgot. And two psalms just of how Israel was did not remember and what happened to them. And they needed to remember. The Lord says, in a sense, he says, you have to remember so that you can live right now. And remember that they're talking about, remember something that happened 40 years ago. Don't remember yesterday. Remember something that happened 40 years ago. And that ought to affect your life. And that's what the Old Testament is about. And it's an amazing thought that it's not just my future that molds my life. It's 40 years in my past, maybe. It's my past that also affects my life. But they're both the same message. See, they're both. I have to remember that, because that will. I have to remember the Lord's coming, because that will affect the way I live. I have to remember my redemption out of Egypt, because that will affect the way I live. See. And we read that in the New Testament. We'll give you just a couple of chosen verses in that as well. 2 Peter chapter 1. And Steve made reference a little bit to this morning. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Well, I'm in 1 Peter. That's where I can't find it. Excuse me. 2 Peter chapter 1. Let me start reading at verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. See, we have everything given to us. And the underlying condition is that when we have everything, we've escaped the corruption in the world that's in lust. And I have everything I need for a godly life. And he says, you know, add to these things, because you have this foundation, add these characteristics. And he goes on, and this is what Steve, verse 5 and verse 6 and verse 7. And he says, add these things, be diligent to add these things to your life. Because if you add these things to your life, verse 8, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, if I'm living right, then I live a useful and unfruitful, useful and a fruitful life. If you lack these things, he goes on to say, it's not a matter of sin, but read verse 9. He who lacks these, you lack, you know, moral excellence, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, brotherly godliness, brotherly kindness, love. You have a useless and unfruitful life. What's the problem? See, you lack all those things, and so your life is just yucky. It's verse 9. He who lacks these is blind and nearsighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. You didn't remember something. See, it's not, oh, it's so hard for me to be loving. It's, I didn't remember something. Oh, I have no self-control. I have no moral excellence or no perseverance. What's my problem? And the problem is, I forgot something. See? And I didn't remember my purification from my former sins. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Among other things, Paul is dealing with the Corinthians on problems in the church. And chapter 6 is a problem of lawsuits among the brethren and so on and so forth. And he concludes with, it's wrong, and we won't get into what the problem is, but it's wrong. What they're doing is wrong. And then he generalizes a little bit more, starting in verse 9. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that's the way we were. Some of us were that way. Now, I guess he gives you a little wiggle room if you don't want to include yourselves. But such were some of you. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God. And so when we pray, oh God, I want to be sanctified, sanctify me, Lord. And all of a sudden, we hear Paul's voice saying, hey, you were washed. You were sanctified. What are you praying for? See? It just, you know. I should remember my purification from my sins. I should remember that I was washed. I was sanctified, see. My past affects what I am today, see. My past makes me what I am. My future makes me what I am. And I need to remember the future, but I need to remember the past as well, see. 1 Peter chapter 4. I'll just read a couple of verses. First three verses. Therefore, since Christ has suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same purpose. Because he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so as to live the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for the lusts of men, but for the will of God. Something about Christ's death is an example for us. He died to sin, we died to sin, and we're not supposed to live that way anymore. Here's the verse. For the time already past is sufficient to have carried out the desire of the Gentiles, having pursued a course of sensuality, lust, drunkenness, carousing, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. See? There was a time, see, there was a time, Peter says, when we lived like the Gentiles, unsaved people. Sensuality, lust, drunkenness, carousing, drinking parties, abominable idolatries. These may fit, they may not fit you. You put your own list in there. But he says, enough is enough, see. The time passed. Was enough of that, see. We're past that. And we have to remember what we're past, see. I don't do that anymore. The time past was enough. I'm here now, see. And my past gives me, in some sense, a positive example. And in another sense, it gives me a negative example. But that's not me anymore. But it still affects the way. Someone says, let's do this. And I say, nah, enough is enough, see. I've been there, done that. No more. That's what he's saying here, because Christ suffered, and so we have that example, but that affects us. See? In the Old Testament, the command to remember redemption was given to people about to enter the promised land, and they were to remember their redemption, which is far in the past. The question is, do you ever think about your redemption? See? And remember your redemption. See? There was a man by the name of John, by the way, a couple hundred years ago, and he was a wretch. And he was saved by amazing grace, right? And he never wanted to forget that, and so they say that he put on his mantle, fireplace mantle, where he would see it all the time, Deuteronomy 15:15. And you will remember that you were a slave in Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you. And he would look at that verse all the time. And, you know, he never forgot that he was redeemed. And that's what it has to be for us, see. You might not have a 40-year history to look back to. You might only have a short history. I've got a 46-year history, by the way. And do I remember that? And I ought to remember that, right? Death to life, how could you forget that? And my lifestyle was almost literal death, the way I was living, to life. And darkness to light, what I thoughtless to now I can think. And from a pit full of mud and miry clay to being set on a solid rock, see. And can I ought to remember that, right? And my verse is, I was a slave in 1969. I will remember that in 1969 I was a slave in Warrenton, Virginia. And the Lord my God redeemed me. Now when I remember that, see, it changes me. It changes me. Because then something I want to do or think or say or be or have or whatever, I say, wait a minute. What happened 46 years ago? See? There's another little slogan, but if I know what I know, how come I do what I do? See? And the only answer to that is I just forget. I just forget what I know. I forget that the Lord is coming and he's holy. That's my future. I need to remember that. I forget my past, that I was a slave and the Lord redeemed me. See? And when I forget those things, then I live whatever. See? But when I remember both the future and I remember the past, then that gives me at least a foundation for how I live today. And when I worry about how can I grow in sanctification and stuff, it's a process. And Steve said a lot of that this morning. But it also has that foundation. And the foundation is, what do I know? But it doesn't help me to say I know that if I don't remember it. And so when I say title of the message, just some things to remember. Just two, real easy, two. And you can fill in the blanks, but remember that the Lord's coming back and he's holy. That's one you have to remember. And two is, remember that you were redeemed. Remember that you were redeemed. And both of those things change the way you live today. And it helps me a little bit. Trust it will help you a bit. Let's pray. Our Father, we do look at both ends of our life. When we received life at our redemption, when we will pass over into eternity with you, when we see you coming. Cause us to remember these things, that we might live today on a basis of both our past and our future. That we would be your people, not just in name only, but in word and deed, that people would see us and understand what a great God we have. So just take these concepts and teach us from them, we pray. In your name, amen. Lord bless you.